Welcome to Saha Says, where we go over headlines of the week and share our in-the-weeds opinions. Joining us tonight, myself, Sciatic Nerd, Vesh, the security engineer and Saha moderator, Pinky, who is the team captain for UTSA's CCDC team, and Cooper, who is a biohacker and our news curator. And of course, you know me, I'm the guy who does that strange B-sides SATX thing and helps manage this podcast. We're going to start tonight with a strange story from Ars Technica. Now, I say strange because it actually says that the U.S. government has asked to be joined as a party in the Irish High Court case between the Austrian privacy activist and lawyer Max Schrems and the social network Facebook. In a press release, Schrems calls this an unusual move because, as he told Ars, there are no documents relating to an amicus curiae, or says a friend of the court. So, the U.S. government simply appeared via a barrister at the first administrative hearing today, and they said they will be able to file the documents until the 22nd. Now, all of this says that Schrems speculated that the U.S. government has made this move because it wanted to defend its surveillance laws before the European courts, but it'll be a very interesting move, he says, to Ars Technica. So I think it's actually interesting because other people supposedly misunderstand why the U.S. listens or has such strong interest in surveillance. Now, I realize we're getting awfully close to the person of interest TV series when it comes to, or let's just say enemy of the state. We're getting very close to that in our own public perceptions because all of our devices are always listening and always on. Vesh, do you ever get tinfoil hatted about the amount of surveillance we have?
Well, when I was getting indocked over at the agency, I remembered a disturbing tale. So what they do is they kind of poke fun at themselves. They show you enemy of the state and the scene where all these somebody says bomb, and it was a Gene Hackman goes back and says, oh, they've got X amount of linguists doing this, and they can pick up bomb over the phone. And the guy goes, the NSA guy that's doing the indoc and showing us the film goes, did you know that it would take 1 point some odd million English linguists working around the clock just on U.S. calls in order to listen and transcribe every call in the U.S.? Wow. And everybody in the room laughed, and I didn't laugh because I sat there and said, wait a minute, that means you thought about it.
Uh-huh.
It means you did the math on this, and I don't believe it's very funny. So that, you know, that's just kind of a funny enemy of the state story there,
but it's too close to the truth. This, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem is with this story here. The they just want so many things have been shot down via the EU court, so now the U.S. is going to put muscle behind it. And here are the companies that have facilitated this communication and have done such a good job at actually bringing data and, you know, providing services to the EU. Facebook, I believe, provides their service for free. I don't know when the last time you had to purchase Facebook was. But unless you're buying their stock, unless you're buying their stock, it costs you nothing. And monetarily, right. It costs your dignity, that's for sure.
Oh, hey now.
European is just full of a bunch of, you know, pissant communists. It's just nothing but a bunch of communists and socialists trying to get in everybody's pockets, and the government's doing it, and now they're coming after U.S. companies, and now the U.S. is trying to push their weight around in the court saying, wait a minute, if you guys are going to take on these U.S. companies, we want a piece of that surveillance pie, because, you know, we've got a war on terror that we need to fight for the next 1,000 years, according to John McCain.
So it's good that you actually have an actual, like, list of characters into this, but I wanted to actually hear real quick from Pinky if she also has tightened her tinfoil hat throughout all of this, or does she have digital assisted devices around the house that she can call upon just with her voice?
So I'm a mixture of the two. I do have a tinfoil hat on that's getting tighter probably each day in each podcast we do this.
That's my fault.
But I will admit my Xbox still, you know, responds to voice commands, and the only reason it didn't turn on right now is because it's disconnected.
Oh, I was going to say, Xbox, turn off. Xbox. No? Anyone listening, no. I don't apologize. I'm kidding. No. And if you just lost your game of Destiny, I apologize. We're really close to the new DLC, people. Anyway. Cooper, so, tell me.
I'm kind of curious about this, wondering, you know, they actually did the math for all this. Well, why didn't they actually put a little bit more automation into it? You know, where's the bash scripting? You know, PowerShell, come on, guys. Can't we just automate this? Do like a keyword search? Maybe they need to like get some consults from, you know, some headhunters out there so they can do some keyword searching through the, like they do on, through resumes. You know, but, you know, we know how great that works.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, crowdsource your voice analysis.
Wait, isn't that actually what you call LibriVox? Or no, wait, that's just reading books out loud.
I don't know what it is, but if I'm sure that you might find some odd compendiums if the agency gets short on staff, and it's just this book that sounds suspiciously like a phone conversation between two parties.
Sure.
And it says, "Hey, do this line in an Arab accent."
Oh.
Either that, or are they going to flag everybody that says "America"?
America.
No. Those guys get a pass because we know they're fine.
Oh, no.
Unless they're in Montana or Oregon, and then they get a second pass.
Oh, man.
Well, if they flag America, they ought to flag, "Hey, quick, hold my beer."
Now, those might go to the IRS because they might be Republican voters, and we know that the IRS at this point doesn't like them.
Wow. So at that point, with that being said, I think I'm going to push us to the next story. Please, for the love of Pete, tell us about Gawker Mesh.
Gawker. They didn't get the root of this problem. The root of the problem is those scumbag journalists. Those journalists, I mean, they're just going to go back and teach J school, or they're going to get a new thing, right? This is, if there were any justice in the world, we would get, Hulk Hogan would be allowed to take pictures of all these embarrassingly unfit, sniveling babies naked, and he would be able to post them online. I mean, if that was, this fair's fair. Fair's fair. He should get Hulk Hogan should have access to sex tape for all Gawker reporters and staff. I mean, no money, just the sex tapes.
So is that what we want to see, Coop? Is it just all sex tapes all the time? No, it's not quite what I mean, but.
Well, considering I'm not bug hunting on Pornhub, I would say definitely not.
Ah.
And, tell me how you really feel, Vesh, about the scumbag journalists, quote, what?
Well, these scumbag journalists, I mean, there are journalists that actually publish, you know, decent articles, decent content. These guys have been, you know, just killing it in the filth industry for years. And they're like, the thing is, Hulk Hogan, which is actually a Thiel or whatever his name is, the billionaire that they're blaming everything on.
Right.
Because he stepped forward. He didn't like Gawker, so, you know, he stepped forward and funded Hogan's lawsuit, which was which was fine. You fund whatever you want. If you want to fund somebody's case because you believe that it furthers your cause, then fine, go ahead and do it. Freedom of speech. But for this, they're trying to say, oh, he was a public figure. He knew he was on film. And I said, okay, no. I mean, maybe he had an inkling that there might be a camera somewhere nearby and looked around, but just because you're a public figure does not mean that you have a right to show a sex tape of you online. That's not First Amendment.
No.
You know, it's that whole freedom of the press exemption was kind of designed for you to speak truth to power, not show Hulk Hogan's balls to the U.S. You know, I think there's a big difference there.
Wouldn't that get more ratings, though?
People care about it more, apparently. Well, that's what the Gawker business model was. People cared more about that than an actual learned opinion about anything. So, but it's just scumbags. And like I said, they should get, don't pay them any money, because these guys, they don't give a shit about the money. They're going to find a job some other. I want the naked pictures of them. I want all of them with the naked pictures posted on HulkHogan.com.
I like how it actually
every
was
single
reversal.
One
on Hulk Hogan.
No, every single one of. Every single one of those journalists who probably never even seen the inside of a gym, I would like to see. Okay, fine. You're going to sit there and post pictures? Let's post some pictures of you. All right, Mr. Editorial Staff.
Nice. And see, that's actually half of the concern right there is the way the media impacts everyday people or people who are perceived to be some kind of a celebrity or a C-level celebrity. Who knows? But
well, they used to talk truth to power, and now all they ever do is they insert themselves into the story. They make themselves part of the story, and you know, you see them showing up at protest sites, and they're saying, "I'm not only a journalist; I'm part of the protest." It's like, well, then you need to take your ass out of the story.
Well, and so I think that's also telling of our culture and the way we all want our 15 seconds of fame, or at least a podcast that allows us to showcase it. Notice how big I'm smiling. But the reality is that we all want to share something. Everyone has a voice, right? And YouTube has become that central source for it. But now I can't monetize YouTube the same way necessarily that I can monetize Gawker or something else. Although Gawker current situation notwithstanding. Pinky, have you ever even, I'm not asking if you've watched the video, I'm asking if you've, by any chance, were you a fan of Gawker when it was still, solvable, or, what is it, in the black?
No, Solvent, you're right, Solvent's fine.
Okay.
Well, to be honest, I was, I guess, you know, hiding under a rock because I never heard of it till just now, so.
You're kidding. Oh my.
Do you think I have free time?
Right, student. So, Coop?
What if porn I see other people play at the lab, okay?
Oh, are they playing MUDs at this point, or are they actually working?
I don't
know. Is it dating Sims? Is it weird dating Sims from...
Totally, always.
From overseas?
Yeah, from Japan, you know, we gotta go there.
I'm suddenly thrown back to the age of the 90s when people had... the dating sim app, or what is it, cartridges from the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, which, by the way...
Wow, really?
Well, yeah, the Japanese titles, there were these... A friend invited me over, and he's like, check out this game I brought back from Japan. And I'm like, what is this? I don't even know what this is. He's like, it's a dating sim, like I should know. So, you learn something new every day, and today I learned that Pinky does not check out the media. She's too busy working. And Coop, I don't even imagine you have as much time to look at this stuff because you've got, you know, a young child and everything. So, had you heard about the Gawker situation?
I heard that it's, you know, basically, you know, filing for bankruptcy, what have you. But as far as the whole Hulk Hogan thing, I haven't paid attention to anything that guy has said since the 80s.
Well, you know, man, you just can't be like that. You got to get in the ring and be ready to talk when Hulk Hogan shows up and tears a fart. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I really
there's know. There's 40, too 40, many tank tops shredded in that. I'm going to stay far away from that and just, you know, recognize that we've dated ourselves by talking about mudding and the you know in the computer labs and just I'd rather think about that instead of Hulk Hogan tearing your shirt off.
Mudding muds are actually a way more recent reference than Hulk Hogan at this point.
See,
true. But, you know, I would rather, you know, think about that instead of a man tearing his clothes off. That does absolutely nothing for me.
That's fair. That's fair.
Why do you hate America?
Oh.
I mean, he comes out to real America.
Because I'm a communist.
Oh.
Go to Europe, then. They're short on commies.
Oh.
I thought Canada was.
So are we going to blame Canada?
Canada's not short on commies.
They're like the party hat for the United States, right?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's a shitty party.
So, Coop, why don't you tell us instead about how Harvard scientists create hard drives that are alive?
Yeah, that actually sounds like a lot more fun from futurism.com. Harvard scientists create hard drives that are alive. Scientists use bacteria's own immune response to upload approximately 100 bytes of data into living cells. Each cell can hold a segment of computer code or even a line of poetry. Geneticist Seth Shipman and Jeff Nivola have led a team of Harvard scientists to discover a way of turning living cells of bacteria into microscopic hard drives. Oh, wow. Their research has been published in the Journal of Science. And previously, scientists were only able to achieve this with 11 bits of information. However, the team discovered a way to use a bacteria immune response to upload approximately 100 bytes of data into living cells. Each cell can, you know, hold, you know, okay, just repeated. Sorry about that. And yeah, it just makes me think, you know, now you know, with that little amount, you know, what's next? What do you guys think about that? Are you thinking you're going to have a bio hard drive in a few years?
I have to admit, the first thing that popped into my head when you read this headline was the hills of the data's alive. I was going to sing it too. The data's alive with a line of poetry. Yeah, so maybe not, but I'm going to keep my day job, I promise. But I think actually the idea of infecting it with a common cold so that it can hold more. I mean, what is data like mucus to this thing? I know that's a disgusting mental image, but why is it that what concerned me is that by using an immune response, it was actually able to store more data. And that's actually what was concerning. I mean, like, so what did they have to do? Give it a runny nose and it suddenly is able to hold more? It's just kind of interesting to see that an organism is able to carry more data, the sicker it is. Yeah.
Plus, yeah, wouldn't you think that if the greater response or more lethal of a disease, would it then be able to hold more data? You know, like common cold versus, I don't know, hepatitis?
Or AIDS? Yeah. I believe both of those are viruses.
Yeah, well, I'm reaching here.
So does the bird flu? Bird flu is a fucking other virus. Listeria, right? Right.
Strep throat. Well, isn't that a bacterial infection?
Well, okay. So
survey says, do we know our diseases?
No.
Yeah, we don't really. But I'm curious as to like, well, you can have a 5 petabyte hard drive, but it contains listeria. So that's
Bluebell's how we call it then.
That's your concerns when you drop it.
Yeah. Frozen. Oh my god. You think you're nervous dropping your NAS now. Imagine when it's loaded up with the bubonic plague.
That'd be a lot of storage.
We were gonna go with bacterial meningitis, but it only holds 20% as much as the plague.
That's terrible. So basically, the bigger your colony, the more data you can store. Somewhere, Fox Mulder is becoming real as we speak. The lone gunmen are being resurrected from the pages of a pulp fiction novel. This is awesome as a concept. I mean, because I was expecting to see crystalline storage make leaps and bounds and be the first to the line, but the idea that we actually have, I want to believe that this disease is going to give us more storage. That's terrific. So great. This is a 16 gig thumb drive, but wait, it's 32 if we give it penicillin. I don't know. I actually would be very curious to see how that actually goes. And, definitely, Pinky, is there any research in the collegiate sector? You guys aren't like doing this by growing new kinds of slime molds in coffee to develop a larger storage array, are you?
I think I'd be dead. No,
oh, I'm sorry, Coop. I couldn't hear you say that last line.
You said slime mold and coffee. Is that only research? Does that only happen during exams?
No. That's called late hours in the lab. Depends on which lab, but still, it's plausible. And just remember, everybody, clean your utensils. There is no such thing as office clean. Okay. So this means it is necessary to wash things. That fine layer of film inside the mug is actually not a feature. That actually could be a bug. So please.
I thought that added flavor.
Flavor. I've got folks in leadership who tell me it adds flavor. But really.
The flavor of death.
Right. It shouldn't. Film should be in a camera, not in your mug, okay? And yes, film is real, people. There is such a thing.
Oh, that's horse crap. You know, so my coffees, I put Bailey's Irish Cream in there and some vodka. The germs are gone. So.
Exactly. Well, there you go. See, that's different though. If you cleanse the vessel. Wow, that doesn't sound odd. Okay. On that note.
And we know the film is out there because, you know, Paul Kogan talks it.
Thank you. Way to bring it back around. So, Vesh, could you talk to us about computer startups by any chance?
I could give you reams of data on computer startups. Only about 10% of it good.
Oh.
The New York Times has a story about the a startup called Area 1 technology, Area 1 security. Okay, because Area 1 security. So now you have to kind of ignore the story because it's a PR piece. It is a PR piece. Okay. I don't know how this made it past the editorial board at the New York Times. You know, because they've got other stuff to do. You know, they've got Bernie Sanders stories to run. I'm sure somebody quit the Trump campaign and they've got to bitch about that for 20 minutes. But you know, so that's going to hit the editorial board. But this is a kind of a clear. They're very pro this security firm, and their former agency guys, which the company I work for is kind of full of.
Oh.
I mean, we got a lot of agency guys work for us, former guys. They're good at their job. What do you want to do?
Sure.
I mean, when all your company does is go around and hunt for bad guys in a network, right?
Right.
Well, for crying out loud, why don't you hire the guys that did it for ever and a day? It wasn't me. I was building those tools, but it wasn't me.
Okay.
But these guys, they want to go after phishing. Like they're saying that these Area 1 security guys in this puff piece in the New York Times, that's what it is, a puff piece, are saying, oh, we're gonna stop these targeted phishing attempts. We're looking at, and they're saying, oh, it's real time. And I'm like, well, how can it really be real time if you got to find the hot points first? So yeah, get a phishing license. I see in the chat, get a phishing license. Nice. So that's, but these guys were smart investors before, right? This isn't their first swing, and they've been actually trying to do this business for about 2 years, and they've just recently gone through, I think, their Series B. Their A round was like $8 million, and their B was like $15 million.
Wow.
And this was after previous investments in other companies like Synac and companies I've kind of preached a little bit before, because I think it saves you money. I've written blog pieces about how, you know, places like Synac kind of, if you're trying to guide a company and get them to test their software, these are good places to go to keep costs down and get your software tested if you don't, I mean, on a budget. So, and that's not supporting anybody. It's not a plug or anything. It's just what they do.
Yeah, that's just what like you said, it's a PR piece.
Right, but for these guys though, I don't know. It's just they're trying to stop phishing or stop targeting phishing attempts. I'm guessing that's its service. I don't know how they're going to scale it, because spam engines already do a pretty damn good lexical analysis, and those Viagra ads still get through. I don't know what the hell different they're going to do, if they're going to have a person look at each and every one.
But doesn't that go right back to your conversation before about how many millions of people it would take to be, you know, parallel processing, looking through all that, you know, sifting through all that data? So how on earth is there enough human brain power to sift that stuff in a timely manner if not working on better heuristics and better ways to capture this spam as it comes through? Okay, I'm going to go back to Pinky on this, because in the CCDC competition stuff, don't you guys have things doing analysis, or do you actually have to break someone off from the defensive team to work on laying eyes on each email that goes by?
So we don't actually get that much phishing attempt during the competition. If something's weird going on your email, you know, either a different team got hacked or you got hacked. There is no concern about them so far as of yet. Probably after, you know, Jess listens to this podcast, this will be the new feature of Nationals this year, phishing. But until now, there hasn't been any actual phishing attempts.
Until it's phishing, I've always had an issue with the way that they do some of these practice. I don't mind the injects. The injects are fine, where they tell you to do a specific task and you have to go do it, right? Like keep this up or do this on this web page. That's great. What they need to have is they need to have a team of, you know, get dogs to just walk on the keyboard, or cats or something. But there has to be somebody with email and web open just going to every single link that gets sent their way.
Nice.
So that's the problem is that stuff. The idiots in recruiting or HR, in spite of saying, don't open PDFs, don't open it, they'll just open it. They'll just open it and go on with their day. And the problem that I have with a lot of these competitions is that there's nobody replicating that. And that's the biggest in.
Yeah. Well, people are unfortunately the weakest link, as the character would say. Coop, so and you're working with people on the outside, because I know you just didn't you recently just help an organization that's kind of a smaller organization, and they're trying to figure out their own security, right?
Yeah, it's funny when you're working with small businesses, just to see the holes that exist basically by, you know, them doing their infrastructure layer by layer instead of fixing the kinks. No, they just add another layer on. And it seems like you see that more and more in the industry, that people, they'll go to people they assume are, you know about IT, but they simply just put another Band-Aid or another coat of paint. So you end up with, what, a million coats of paint and Band-Aids falling off left and right while they're oozing out all their information.
Oh, man.
Like, when I first visited there about a year ago, they had open Wi-Fi, no password.
Oh.
Nothing. Their SSID was broadcasting out there that they were an office, and no encryption at all.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you live, you learn, huh?
Needless to say, I wasn't even really there to fix it. I was just there to do a quick consult. And when I noticed after saying, so in order to give this presentation, I really kind of need to pull some extra notes from Google Drive. What's your Wi-Fi? And they said, well, it's the open one. I was like, excuse me?
Oh, no.
You do bookkeeping here. You do financial stuff here, right? Yeah. What do you mean it's open? And that's why I got invited to come back this year and am going to be invited again soon to just overhaul their network. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. Definitely hoping that goes well, for sure.
Yeah, for anybody. And,
huzzah.
We were talking about CCDC. You know, makes me wonder if their next feature won't just be calling and doing a little bit of, phishing, but also social engineering their way into the room, what have you.
Did you tell us
about that? One of the red teams swiped a white team badge. And did a little bit, you know.
At the regionals, we've had it happen, but at nationals, they do not do social engineering.
Ah, okay, uh-huh. Good.
Why not? That's like a feature.
Well, maybe.
You'd have to ask them.
So maybe we should be more concerned about selfies, because apparently a Chinese loan shark is actually using them as collateral, or at least that's what Pinky's going to talk to us about.
Yeah, so theregister.co.uk has reported that loan sharks in China are reportedly accepting nude selfies as collateral, basically on the basis that the threat of publication is an effective way ensuring the loan is repaid. So wow. Selfies are accepted as a collateral for loans up to about $2,200, United States dollars, on a whopping 30% rate of interest per week. However, wow. It could be a translation error there, because China Daily says the interest rate is 30% per year, so who knows?
Oh, interesting.
But for the selfies, borrowers had to provide other forms of identity, such as their student cards and contact details for family members.
What?
So basically, if you don't repay this loan, they're going to go to your university, your employer, to your family members to go share your naked selfie. That probably isn't just, hey, look, it's me naked. They'll probably want something a little bit more than that.
Oh, boy. So, actually, this sounds very much like a Law & Order episode or something, where they're basically leveraging someone else's selfie to get the family members, in this case, maybe the ones who are actually public figures or whatever, to cough up the cash. Or if something else, I mean, I definitely would be curious to know, again, why do people record things like this on media that's connected anyway, if they're going to record it at all? Sometimes a Polaroid is just safer. I don't know. What? Go ahead.
Yeah, I have no. I mean, this is assuming that the people are of the age of consent in the country that they live in. You can ask for whatever in collateral. I mean, is this really any worse than asking for the title to your car? I mean, you're equally screwed if they repossess the car versus if you. I mean, one's just an embarrassment bit, and the other one is you don't have a car anymore. I mean. Not many people in China have a damn car.
Nope.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I just, I look at this and nobody's forcing them to do this, right? They're taking a loan, and they're doing something stupid to get the loan. At least, at least this isn't like the way the mob used to do it, where it's loan sharking. It's you know, the classic scene with in Goodfellas with, or was it Ray Liotta, I think, is narrating, and he goes, he says, yeah, I borrowed, this guy borrowed some money from me to run his store, and it's, you don't show up with the money, F you pay me. F you pay, oh, what, your kid had cancer, F you pay me. Your wife fell down a flight of stairs, F you pay me.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
That's, isn't this better? Isn't this just slightly better than the, and these are the Chinese, they don't dick around. Right?
So
they will run their own people over with tanks, and all these loan sharks are asking for is a picture of your jugs.
Yeah, I'm very concerned. Well, there's your security tip for the week. If you want to, now hear this. This has nothing to do with your student loans. Put that away. No, just cover that back up. That's not going
to
help.
Clearly, you don't go to the same. Clearly, you don't go to the same sites I go to, because there's a lot of people paying off student loans.
Well, wow. That's different. I think they charge a different rate, and I don't want to say anything. So, no, honestly.
Let's move on. Hacks of the week.
Yeah, that's probably a wise choice. Starting with the hacks of the week, actually, aren't you going to tell us something really interesting about exploiting the Internet of Things and biomedical devices?
Yeah, I'd like to go to thehackernews.com. It looks like NSA wants to exploit Internet of Things and biomedical devices, just what he said. The cyber attack vectors available to hackers will continue to grow as the Internet of Things becomes more commonplace, making valuable data accessible through an ever-widening selection of entry points. Although it's not the hackers alone, the NSA is also behind the IoT. We already know that the U.S. National Security Agency's power to spy on America as well as foreign people, thanks to the revelations made by a whistleblower. But, you know, now the agency is looking for new ways to collect even more data on foreign intelligence. And for this, NSA is regarding possibilities of exploiting internet-connected biomedical devices ranging from thermostats to pacemakers, probably Fitbits as well. All right. During the Military Technology Conference in Washington, D.C. on Friday, NSA Deputy Director Richard Leggett said his agency officials are looking at it in sort of theoretically from a research point of view right now. What do you guys think about this? Are you going to be a little concerned about your Fitbit data?
I'm more concerned about my automated Hue light bulb. If, you know, so are they just going to start flicking the light switches up and down like that episode of Big Bang Theory, where they're like, look, someone else is turning on and off the lights. I just don't know if the idea that somehow the NSA is behind the Internet of Things, I'm guessing they mean the research of Internet of Things, right? I mean, they're not like trying to push kits that help you water the plants in the backyard. And I imagine this is probably a little more about all of the interconnected devices that can be used as listening devices. Doesn't this go back to our initial tinfoil hatted moment? I don't know that I'm really that concerned about it, not because I can't say that I've got nothing to hide, but apparently I'm not trying to pay off a loan. So I'm obviously just going to stay covered up. Besides, I burn. So really, the there are larger concerns than whether or not someone's eavesdropping on you or if you're tearing your shirt off. Whatever you do in the privacy of your own cosplay is your business. And if you share that with the internet, just please apparently be prepared to accept Stripe, PayPal, and other online means, perhaps even Bitcoin or Bitless Coin or Bittycoin, whatever kind of coin you like. It's just, I don't get it. How are we so concerned on one hand and so not concerned on the other? But then again, if you look at the way people are buying cars these days, there was an option for people recently to have cars that had touch interfaces on them, and people were so irritated that they couldn't just turn a knob that the car manufacturers have gone back and replaced touch interfaces with physical knobs. So who am I to comment on what people want?
I mean, they're
about a step behind.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen the touchscreens they put on the car? It's gross. They haven't put one in yet that looks any good. You know, what is so damn difficult about putting, say, okay, you know what's on my phone? You know what, my iPhone or my Android phone?
What?
Okay, I want that in my dashboard.
Absolutely.
Isn't that a Tesla? I thought a Tesla was an iPad on wheels.
Well, that's why it's Tesla.
That way you don't have to go through five screens to play a song.
Well, a Tesla is just an attractive car that was, you know, that was built, you know, with all that in mind. You know, these guys like GM. You know, GM is sitting there, you know, and they've got the same dashboard. That well, we planned this out 5 years ago, so we've already got the next 20 years of car updates. So this dashboard is going to go in here. It's 10 years out of date. Just carve out a spot for my phone or something. They keep kind of the same connection except for Apple.
Yeah.
I just put my phone in there and then I'll have a GM app and I'll pull it up and then that'll do everything. So just.
But can we get it locked into the firmware? No Apple Maps, please. No Apple Maps.
Well, I don't know if you've ever, played with some of the nav that they have in cars, but it's, you gotta download the maps offline. So my house has been, my house has existed for about 8 years. My grandparents still can't get it in their car.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is actually true. And actually some of the vendors, depending on which ones, they make physical map updates. You have to go in so someone can load a disk to load updated maps into the memory. But maybe not. Maybe not anymore. Maybe it's finally reaching a point where you can actually just pull the data from online and go. Maybe it's actually getting somewhere. Although, it does seem like we should be further along. But then again, maybe the concern isn't the firmware, but the wetware. What if it's just that we can't, as human beings, catch up to where the technology is able to go?
I just don't think we like that crap. I mean, I don't like seeing it in my car. It's like I've got a buddy's got like a BMW 7 Series, and it's got the car's gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
And inside is the ugliest in-dash display I've ever seen.
Really?
So, and on the other plane, my grandpa had a 1940 Packard Patrician that he completely restored, all original parts. I mean, they're not all the same VIN, but it's all original parts. Right down to the battery case, and you've never seen a better looking dash and everything. Morgan cars, Aston Martins.
Oh,
these cars are all very good looking. It's, you know, at some point aesthetics matter. Yes. I want a touchscreen thing in the van that I go to cart screaming children around in. I do not want it in my ball. You know, I want it in my Honda Odyssey. I do not want it in my Beamer.
Sure.
Gross. I've got a phone to guide me around. I don't need some damn dashboard with a screen that looks like it was pulled out of a Blaupunkt radio set from the 1980s.
I was going to say, well, you're dating yourself. Be careful. I don't know how many people know what Blaupunkt is at this point.
It's what people used to put in their cars along with gigantic Audiobahn speakers way back when.
So I'm curious, Pinky, if you actually, you just recently, I think, changed vehicles or something like that. So does it have a very updated interface, or is it just kind of older, or is it just, what is it like?
I have the Corolla 2016, so it's a bit updated. Is it as pretty as Tesla's? No. Do I still have knobs? Yes. Do I have touchscreen? Yes. Does it play with my iPhone nicely? No.
Oh. Oh, okay. Integration still yet to be discovered or figured out in vehicles. Maybe it is 20 years away. Who knows?
I did some online research, and it's not just iPhone. It's like, it doesn't play nice with iPhone, doesn't play nice with Android, doesn't play nice with Windows. It's like, who do you play nice with then?
Symbian.
Thank you. You beat me to it. You beat me to it. Oh, that's exactly where I was.
You need to pull out an old Nokia, and then it'll love it.
Yeah, great.
WebOS.
WebOS.
Palm, really?
Yay! Yeah. I love
WinRT. WinRT.
Well, at least you know it's very, very difficult to hack because no one's using it. So
that doesn't make it difficult.
Well, wait a minute, a Symbian, like Symbian architecture? Oh, there's plenty of old school techniques that still work on S40s and X60s. Don't think that market is not a hot one. Lots of undesirables carry around S40s and S60s. I'm sure there's a stockpile somewhere.
Isn't there like some Metasploit modules for that?
I don't think so. For S40s and S60s, I don't think so. Ooh. I mean, there wouldn't, I don't even
Maybe
think
I
there's,
need to make
some.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, there you go, Coop. You figured out a niche market to approach.
If you can figure out how to deploy Symbian exploit over the transom.
We should move on to the next story and talk about how from hackread.com, You may have heard the phrase, it's raining cats and dogs, but in a world of cybersecurity, it's raining data. A group of hackers going by the handle of Team Ghost Shell has leaked more than 36 million accounts and records of internal data from several vulnerable networks in order to raise awareness about the poor security infrastructure implemented on MongoDB databases by their owners. The data breach is very similar to past cases. For example, a lack of security on a database contained sensitive information of over 190 million citizens in the U.S. and other sites that don't even implement basic security settings on the database at all. And these past and current data breaches are all related to the MongoDB servers. So if all this data is out there because people are not patching and not taking care of MongoDB, why is MongoDB so popular? Coop, you ever work with this platform?
No, I kind of avoid Mongo. It's too much like a mango to me.
Really? Okay, Pinky.
Too fruity.
Womp womp.
I avoid databases like the devil. I'm already trying to make friends with MySQL. I don't need to piss it off by, you know, going to its, you know, secret lover or whatever.
Vesh, you're the last on the list here, buddy. Can you tell us if you actually work with Mongo or do you know someone who does?
Is that for me?
That is to you, Vesh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've absolutely worked for Mongo. We put Mongo in like enterprise systems. It's very good at like I think full text searches, items like that. You've got several different schemas that rely on Mongo to provide them data. So if you don't secure your Mongo instance, that's the same as not securing your MySQL instance. Nobody's going after. The only difference is that with Mongo, it's different to secure it in that it doesn't have default username and password credentials. So, but all you have to do is set that up. It used to not have SSL enabled, but I don't even know if MySQL by default has SSL on 33 on port 3306. I don't think it does.
It doesn't. No.
So I don't know what the. Okay, so I don't know what the bitch about Mongo is. The Mongo daemon runs now. You can set it up to run in with SSL, and you set up a username and password. You turn on authentication. It's like anything else. And the guy who made it, I think, came out with a statement earlier because there was another problem with this, is saying that. What do you want me to do? Hold their hand and make them put in a password?
Exactly.
And the only reason why nobody grabs about MySQL is because most people do apt-get install MySQL 5-common. Or they get it from Turnkey, which forces you to put a password in. That's not MySQL really forcing you. That's that's kind of the app package manager forcing you. I'm sure that it's part of the package, but it's...
And I'm actually thankful for the Turnkey people, I have to admit. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's I don't know. It's you didn't secure your database. You got default creds. Once again, that's your fault. It's not that Mongo's insecure. No, Mongo's perfectly secure. You're the moron didn't put a password on it
SSL. Hold on. What do you mean I have to do work? I was under the impression that just by running this thing, it would just load up and the lights would be blinking and flashing and flashing and blinking and it would all be fine. I bought the box off the internet. I plugged it in. It's supposed to do that for me. Why do I have? I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to spin you up.
Well, I mean, so many people use this stuff for like enterprise data collection because you're doing big data aggregation off of this. So what ends up happening is these guys they don't care. They don't give a shit. They're like, I'm just gonna keep piling all this data in here, and they don't think of it as like a database. They're like, this is not a database. This is big data. So database like anything else. As a matter of fact, it's files on a file system, but it's still kind of a database. And you just got to, just secure it like anything else. Quit bitching and moaning about this stuff. It's your fault. It's your password on your database. That's your fault.
The second people actually start taking responsibility for their own actions and lack of security is the second that we actually have a different conversation. And that's I think, in some ways, the actual challenge to what some call the echo chamber, is that we blame, right? It's blame-splaining. What's the right phrase here? I'm not even sure anymore. But there is a lack of willingness, or maybe there is. Maybe people have changed. Maybe I'm just wrong. maybe people have started taking responsibility for the lack of configuration management within the organization or in the products that they maintain. Have you seen a marked change in that there, Vesh? Or is that maybe how some of our organizations, some of our companies that we work for or know of, maybe that's how we stay employed. Maybe that's actually job security for us. Which is it?
Well, there's a cultural rift that exists between a traditional database like MySQL or relational database versus these document-driven systems. And I mean document because that's what they call it, these NoSQL systems like MongoDB. It's people don't consider it. They don't think of it as a database. So they just lots of startups will use it. Lots of people will begin with MongoDB when they're building their web app or something. And none of the tutorials out there show you, oh, by the way, here's how you secure it, when every single MySQL, PHP, web app design tutorial tells you exactly how to set up a username and password on MySQL. WordPress walks you through it. So so it's a cultural difference between these. And you see it's a lot of universities, too. Because they're just aggregating data and they're like, oh, I want to do this big analysis on this. I don't want to be held to the traditional database rules because this is big data, not a regular database. This isn't like financial transactions. And then the financial people pile in here and they want to do big data too. So they put it in Mongo, but then they don't secure it the same way they secure a SQL server. And it's just idiocy. It's just idiocy permeating through the industry due to a cultural difference between what people think of MongoDB and what people think of traditional SQL databases.
This blog post will be coming to you soon. I think you actually have enough material here. You could actually make a series out of that, Vesh. And I'm serious.
No, I bitch about other things on my blog.
Oh, okay. So,
inquiring readers want to know.
Hey, what's the URL to your blog again?
They took my interwebs.blogspot.com. I don't spell it with a Z or anything. They took my interwebs.blogspot.com.
Cool.
So, and you can get there through, they just put HTTPS up. So like it's, you can redirect to HTTPS if you, so now for people who have talked to me about the SSL issue before and said, why can I not get to this through HTTPS? Blogspot finally put up SSL. So
nice.
You're fine. Just go there. It's okay. Use HTTPS anywhere, and you'll be all right.
Awesome. Hey, Pinky, you got something for us?
Yes. So the Hacker News, you know, our favorite news website, has mentioned Hack the Pentagon. Hackers find over 100 bugs in the U.S. defense systems. So back from April 18th to May 12th, 2016, basically the Pentagon allowed, you know, a contest to occur of Hack the Pentagon where anyone who participated went through a background check and you just did your traditional white hat hacking and try to find bugs in the systems, and you had the possibility to earn up to $15,000 for disclosures on the most destructive vulnerability in DoD networks. So this is just a brief little article saying, you know, they found over 100 vulnerabilities during this, you know, brief time frame, slightly less than a month. And it's just nice to hear some reassuring news for once that, you know, it's probably our favorite topic on this podcast to trash the government or some part of the government for not doing something right. So at least they're trying to get actual, hopefully, professionals in the field, you know, getting their vulnerabilities. And if they're actually going to patch it is a whole different issue.
Well, hopefully they do choose to patch and take to heart some of these things. And I'm sure there are multiple perspectives on the issue. Coop, if you had the requisite skill set in hand, I'm not saying you do or don't, I'm just asking if that was up your alley, would you have participated?
Actually, I did attempt to participate because one of the groups I participate in, Austin 2600, during one of their times, they met up and participated in this instead of their regular CTF that they did for educational reasons.
Oh, wow.
I don't know the outcome of it, you know, if anybody really found anything, got any money from it. I just know that, you know, we did take a look at it and had a little bit of fun. You know, some of us, you know, took a little break in the middle for a little bit of hardware hacking, but yeah, it definitely was worth a look, in my opinion. I hope there's another one.
Did you see the actual systems, like any of the systems? What systems did they have you plugging away against?
That I would have to refer to other members that were more skilled in the area. As far as what all they had and were able to have access to during that.
Okay, because I'm just interested in
how much access they got.
Well, no, and what in how many people, like, do you think that they actually so they get so much contractor crapware that I wonder if they would go back and put the old OPM site up and just something like that, you know, or if the contractors that greased enough government palms to get their stuff in the door, if they said, hey, listen, our stuff's not part of this hacker bounty program because we actually built you a shitty web app and we charged you $5 million for it when it was really just setting up WordPress, which happens.
Well, I'm definitely going to take a look at that, and I'll get back to you for a later follow-up, but could you tell us a little about the cyber jihad, man?
I can tell you a lot about the cyber jihad because from CNBC.com, I actually, so there's a lot of things that are coming to light right now with regard to the ISIS, the cyber caliphate, and the and whether or not it was a Russian false flag operation. So I don't know how much you can trust any of this right now because, like, Der Spiegel and then another fellow writing for, was it Forbes or something? I forget. I have to pull out the article. Basically, so it was the old Russian, you know, cybercrime group, the Sophocy group, the APT-28 group. And they were the ones behind the cyber caliphate. It wasn't actually any jihadists. I mean, maybe they had a few people from these areas, but, there's so many folks coming out of the woodwork saying, look, it's a Russian front now. That, can you really believe cyber jihad? I'm more believe in cyber China or cyber Ruskies. I don't believe cyber jihad. For crying out loud, these people can't even get airdrops right. They can't steal weaponry right. They can't, people are starving over there. Do you really think they're going to get computer security right?
I don't know. But, you know, with that in mind, you know, maybe we need to talk further on in one of our other sections of Gadget Prawn and hear from Sciatic about ATM skimmers and if they get that right.
Oh, thanks very much, Coop. So it says, excuse me, Krebs on Security has featured several recent posts on insert skimmers. Now, ATM skimming devices, these are ATM skimming devices made to fit snugly and invisibly inside a cash machine's card acceptance slot. So this subject is being revisited again because there are some how-to videos produced by different peddlers, and those silent movies illustrate a great deal more than words can about how these devices work, and this was actually posted again on the KrebsOnSecurity.com site. So it's interesting to now have to look yet again at the ATM and other machines that take a card insert, or rather allow you to insert a card, and you have to wonder where the security line is, because before it was just making sure no one put a false top on the thing. Now I'm all concerned about whether or not the card, when I put it in there, if it's so tight, does that mean that someone added something in the middle, and I'm actually now forced to be even more tinfoil-headed? I found myself getting all nervous, and I wish I had maybe some kind of robo-mall cop helping protect me as I do this. Can you tell me, are there such things like that, Coop?
Well, actually, yes. Robo-mall cop is real. And no, I'm not talking about Paul Blart from 2009. No, I'm talking about a new sheriff in the town at Stanford Shopping Center, and he has a high-definition infrared cameras and can process up to 300 license plate a minute.
Wow.
Yeah, and it looks like you can see him rolling around a mall out there in California. So what does that make you think? Does it make you think Terminator or Skynet?
I think it makes me think of Speak and Spell.
I'm glad that they started this in such a rough crime area as Stanford, California. I mean,
you might end up like the hitchhiker robot.
Oh. Yeah. Do you see this going into like a Philadelphia shopping center or, you know, a Detroit fashion mart? I don't think so. I think it's great that they're going to have this robot going around and people, you know, smiling and laughing at it. Whereas, you know, it tries to go into a Foot Locker and, in some abandoned mall, and that thing's going to be up on blocks.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be closer probably to the, I think you're right. There's no chance that we're going to see this thing in an operable situation where there's actual physical risk. But actually, we're going to roll away from Gadget Prawn for a minute and go talk instead about some interesting software in the world in our app attic. You know, Vesh, I was hoping you might be able to chat a little bit about some new apps.
So the nice Trump singles thing, is that what you're getting at? You want me to talk about the Trump singles thing?
That's, yeah, bunny.cnn.com definitely has an app right up your alley, sir.
And it does, yeah. That's
up
it's
your
cutting,
alley,
it's
sir.
Cutting. It's cutting for different reasons. It really is, but TrumpSingles.com. I just can't. What dating while supporting Trump can be difficult, and TrumpSingles.com wants to make dating again for those people. How great is the phrase "make X great again"? That's what I want to know. It's like that's I like Ike. No blood for oil. Yeah, those things. It's right up there. It's right up there. I don't know. It's
I thought it was a little bit depending. To the right.
I've seen,
really?
Yeah, of course it's a little, well, it, you know, we're, you might be 50-50 on that. There's a lot of crossovers on that. There's a lot of, so the Trump Singles app, I mean, yeah, okay, some of the girls might be a little bit frigid. Let's just be honest there. But could you imagine if it were turned around and it was like HillarySingles.com?
I think they said they're working on, like, BernieSingles.com.
That one might actually go. There's probably a lot of, you know, like, cool, like, liberal hippie chicks and stuff. And that's cool and everything. But, I mean, have you seen the Hillary supporters and the listening to the woman speak? I'm like, who the hell would go to that rally, let alone love that enough to go on a singles dating site and register themselves? At least with the thing, I get it. It's a gag. It's a gimmick. It's sexy. But if the tables were turned, there's no way they can freaking do it.
Yeah.
Dude,
I really want Bernie Singles. I want Bernie Singles because I think you're
going
to catch.
Just want a
hippie chick.
Why? Exactly. You know what?
I can't end on that. I can't. It's not possible.
Just close your eyes and think of England.
No.
I can end on that.
I'm going to talk instead about developers. App.apple.com has a blog on Swift. I'm pushing. Xcode 6.3 Beta 2 includes significant improvement to Swift Playgrounds. With great features for authors, it's now even easier to create rich interactive playgrounds, perfect for documentation, tutorials, or samples to include with your own projects. Instead of a dating site for people who want to feel the craft singles or whatever it is, whatever cheese you want to spend time with in your afternoon, that's all right. But there are several new features in Xcode 6.3 Playgrounds talking about inline results and stylized text, which is so much more interesting than dating sites that deal with which party you want to party with. Or maybe that's just
not more interesting. It's not more interesting to talk about.
Feel the burn. It's not gonorrhea.
You sure that's not BernieShingles.com? I mean, lots of Bernie supporters probably have shingles.
Does it burn? Oh.
I just tried to get past this, and it looks like there's no getting.
We're never going to give it up.
Oh my
gosh.
Or
let you down.
Did you?
We're rickrolling it now.
And on that rickroll, thank you very much for joining us for this rushed edition of Saha Says. And so next time you can listen in when we may or may not make more terrible innuendos for your endos regarding dating, cheese singles, and hopefully the news and some kind of hacker stuff. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.